first segment was a false start. This is going to be for real, for real. We have a segment coming up. Take us to the bottom of the hour. We're going to start with baseball today. And once again, I'm Joe Stazak. D. Lineham to my left. We're here till 7 o'clock tonight. I think the obviously the big story, one of the big stories, is the Eagles play the Vikings tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Birds look to extend their winning streak to 3 games. Vikings are coming off a big win over the Giants. Kirk Cousins bounced back. It's going to be interesting. We'll get into the anatomy of the matchup a little later on in the show. But I'd be remiss if I didn't start with the Phillies, D. That press conference yesterday where the Three Stooges got up there and tried to spin everything. And you, here's what's funny about that. You knew it was coming. You knew you were going to hear a bunch of nonsense for the next hour, and you still had to sit through it, and you had to watch them tap dance and dodge and evade and duck. What did you think of that press conference yesterday?
Well, I would disagree with you. I didn't think that they were going to dodge things. I actually thought with all the time they had taken that they were going to be quite prepared and have good answers for what they knew was coming.
Did you think they were prepared?
No, they weren't,
right,
but
I mean.
I'm saying, but I didn't anticipate
it. Oh, gotcha, gotcha,
gotcha.
You
said, yeah, I really thought they would, because they had taken the time.
Right.
I thought the time they would have taken would have been to be able to give you answers because you knew what was going to be asked. And, I mean, that's what they have companies that help you do things.
Right.
For these kind of moments.
PR companies.
Yeah, they can put you through a press conference.
Vigorous press conference.
Do it. Come at you hard.
So you are schooled.
And two things that, one, ultimately, Middleton said what Kapler did in two Septembers,
yep,
which equaled 20 and 36, was ultimately why he got rid of him.
Yep.
The other thing that I thought was interesting, he knew this when on that last day when Middleton was in the dugout, that he did not want to bring Kapler back. And Klintak and McPhail asked him to do more work on this. I guess my thing to Klintak and McPhail, knowing Middleton, and they do know him, did you really believe sending him out on a journey to gather more information was ever going to change his stance on that he wanted Cap out?
It's a good point.
And,
almost a fool's errand.
Right. So, you know, Middleton does like to collect info, whether it's with
which
the Phillies or his
good.
Yeah, because he hinted at that with other jobs, and he also hinted at, like, Klintak now has the opportunity to now hire a second manager, and he should look at the last one as a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
And he being Middleton pointed to, I've had other people and they learn from their mistakes. It's not, he didn't call it a mistake, but he could have.
Yeah, he's basically saying it's a mistake. And here's the issue I have. Klintak's the general manager. He is supposed to make baseball decisions. I'm sure it's a collaborative effort, but he's really in charge of that. If you are not to be a meddling owner, and he says it in the press conference, he's not a meddling owner, and he doesn't want to, you know, pull the Jerry Jones and always have his hand in the cookie jar of the Dan Snyder, but this is the one where he kind of went over his head. He went over Kapler's head, I'm sorry, Klintak's head, because Klintak did not want to get rid of Gabe. So he kind of stripped him of his power when you do that. Do you not? I mean, you were...
Well, he did for that...
For that situation,
he did,
but
for that decision, this well, decision. He wasn't happy, and Klintak didn't rectify the situation. Whether that was at the All-Star break saying to Cap, we better do some stuff different, and if we don't, you're going to be in trouble. So he could have rectified it there. He could have possibly rectified it, though it seemed to me they all seemed to be on the same page of not wanting to give up any pieces and to plug in when they said the Smileys or, you know, whatever pieces they, Corey Dickerson, that they had, you know, small pieces.
Sure.
And, you know, he, McPhail, the only thing that I got from him that was real was he obviously regretted saying, if we do, we do.
I love that part of it.
Yeah.
I love that part of it.
But a whole hour for me to get 2 minutes,
yes,
of something I enjoyed?
The only thing I enjoyed,
right,
was him saying,
so,
yeah,
so
I heard
that,
it.
That I thought. But that in terms of those two, Klintak and McPhail, they saw this, I think, at the All-Star break as this is the road you're heading down with Cap. And now Klintak called Cap a very good communicator, then he's good communicating with who?
Right.
Because certainly if you use the example of benching players, Hernandez being one, that communication was not good. And admittedly,
right.
Your communication with Cap clearly wasn't good because you didn't prepare him well enough, and we have not heard from Gabe, to prevent this from happening. September would have had to be different. Managing the bullpen came up. That was not managed differently. So I guess the point being with Middleton gave them opportunities to salvage something. And I know the question was asked, you know, these three, meaning Cap, Klintak, and McPhail, were all joined at the hip. How is it that two are sitting next to you and one is all that's out? And my other thing is, we can go through the list of names of who can come in here and be the next manager, but you tell me anybody who's worth this much who is going to inherit another guy's entire staff with the exception of the pitching and the hitting
coach.
No,
you can't do that.
But that's what they're doing. That guy gets to hire two people and inherits the rest.
He's never going to pull in a Socha or Joe Madden.
So Dusty Wathen could be it. I have no idea.
That goes back to what I'm saying. You hire baseball people to do baseball things. You hire your general manager to assemble a team. You hire your manager to assemble a pitching staff and a hitting staff and a bench staff. And you're stripping everyone of their power. It's almost like, okay, Middleton will let you do some things if he agrees with them. If he doesn't agree with them, you're out of luck.
I will say this. He will let you do things. If they succeed, you're going to be fine. If they don't succeed, the guy's stepping in. And I'm not sure what the right way of that is. I mean, he's the owner, and you do answer to him. That you duplicated spiraling teams for two consecutive years, and the second coming after he invested almost $500 million, I understand why the guy stepped in. I do.
Well, let me ask you this. You and I have talked about meddling owners before and guys that should really pull back and just let, like Dan Snyder has no business getting his hands on any kind of football decisions, but he does. His team, he can do that. It doesn't usually work out. Jerry Jones has done some things. I'm a Jerry fan.
And Jerry's done some other... Yeah, I don't have to like him.
Right.
But Jerry's a businessman.
Very good businessman. Excellent businessman. He has like a $10 billion corporation there. I like him. I've always liked him. But if you're going to let your own... Not let your owner, because it's his team. He can do what he wants. Are we going to see a lot more of this? Because doesn't it usually not work when the owner is really, moving pieces and...
Well, I mean, basically, he's stepping back again.
Until something he doesn't like.
Well, maybe, but, I mean, somebody could say, well, he meddled in the regular season when he asked to get rid of the hitting coach and brought in Charlie. Okay, well, that probably was an indication he doesn't like what's going on
there. Right, sure.
But again, that gave the group that's there, and it was the three people, McPhail, Klintak, and Cap, an opportunity to make some changes. Subtle changes could have equaled 5 wins.
Yeah.
5 wins could have equaled, and also setting people up that, we're kind of not really in it. We don't care if we make the playoffs this year. And now to see a Nationals team that was a wild card team.
Without Bryce Harper.
Doing just fine and up now in their NLCS.
Series. Yeah, how about that?
So, it's annoying, it's frustrating as a fan to listen to people. And I thought yesterday, the only way you should have come out swinging if you were Middleton or McPhail, one or the other, whoever you wanted to be or Klintak if you wanted.
Sure.
He looked like the third of the three.
He did.
He looked like... I mean,
bosses let me speak.
Right, almost like a child next to parents.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
Yeah, and, and then the one thing with Klintak saying how he never could, Cap couldn't endear himself to the fans. You and I both know. People, there is no owner who cares if the fans love or hate your manager. It really is all about wins
and losses. It's all about wins and losses.
Yeah.
You'll connect with the fans if you win.
Right, but so for your general manager, to the one that you're going to go down there, I mean, you just had said, I thought he had done not just a good job, a very good job. That was 3 weeks ago. And now you got to find a way for why. I mean, he said, it's no secret that I'm a big fan of Cap. Then say, but this didn't work out. And for a number of reasons. At the end of the day, it's wins and losses. But act like you own it. And have, instead of selling me on stats like the wins above
replacement.
Thank mm-hmm. you. Yeah, I don't care about that. Stop. That is such a meaningless stat to throw out in that thing. And they were not prepared for take some ownership of this. We're all somewhat responsible. And I mean, I guess the one quote by Middleton was, this is the way it's been for 100 years and probably will be like this for the next 100 years. A manager takes the hit for this. And we waited an hour to hear that at the end. We did.
It was 58 minutes, I think, the press conference. 610-632-0975. So, Adi, I think I know your answer to this question, but I'm going to throw it out to the audience out there. After seeing yesterday's press conference, mm-hmm. Andy McPhail, John Middleton, Matt Klintak, are you trusting that the pieces in place right now in the front office will be enough and are good enough to make you a legitimate contender sometime in the near future? I don't think so.
I would say this, and again, this is a PR standpoint. All that they had accomplished by the moves they made last offseason, they have taken it down and then some in terms of a trusting standpoint of your fan base.
Mm-hmm.
You have totally ripped it apart. And placing a general manager in there, in my opinion, I think really, with the exception, if you told me Joe Girardi was the guy, that might be the one name that people would be like, all right, wait a minute now. Joe Girardi's coming here?
Right.
That
right.
might be the one name.
Mm-hmm.
There are other guys who, you know, Buck Showalter, and personally, I don't like that would be re-joining or put the band back together.
Yeah.
With him.
Klintak was part of it too.
Yeah,
in Baltimore. Yeah.
So the band that just got broken up is going to be replaced by
the Orioles stunk perennially.
And do I really want that?
Right.
I'm associating with the worst that's out there right now. I mean, I personally don't want that. And for you to bring in a guy who has no managerial experience, nobody's going to trust or believe in that now on the heels of Cap. So that poor guy is going to have to wait till he starts winning games to be even accepted. He will get shredded until then.
Shredded. That is correct. Fun fact, I don't know if Josh Rayback's listening back there. Andy McPhail, as a baseball executive, is 317 games under .500. There's some.
Well,
numbers.
I mean, the Orioles were
the
really,
Orioles.
Really,
he was
bad.
Part of that for 14 straight seasons.
Yeah, that'll put you in a hole.
Yeah, you think?
I mean, I'm just saying.
No, absolutely. So
and by the way, Gabe Kapler could have another job sooner than the Phillies
figure out what they want to do. Yeah.
Because he's going to interview with the Giants. Now, it doesn't mean he gets that job. It's nice to have somebody who's the general manager there who really likes
shot.
You.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
And quickly move on to your next thing. And I'd love to hear if Gabe learned anything here and if he saw the writing on the wall and if he could have done anything. Or did he dig his heels in and keep wanting to just do things Cap's way?
Let's open it up and chat.
I'd love to, Gabe.
All right. Let's open it up and chat. Let's go to George on the cell. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, George?
Hey, how's it going today?
How you doing, man?
Hello.
All right. I'm on the turnpike. I'm driving. I'm listening to you guys. Let me tell you something. First of all, I'm not a Phillies fan. I'm a Yanks fan.
Okay.
But I went to school in Philadelphia. So
okay.
I've watched this team. I got to tell you, you've had general managers who have just been absolutely atrocious. Lee Thomas. Ed Zippy the Chimp Wade. Then you had Ruining Tomorrow, Ruben Amaro, and now Klintak. The only guy who has gotten the job done has been Pat Gillick. Let me tell you something. Middleton needs to fire McPhail and Klintak, let Gillick run things, clean house, fix everything, and within 5 years, you're back in a World Series.
I think George is...
He's the guy to do it.
But George, that's not happening. He sat there yesterday. These two guys are here. They've been given their extension. Well, you can say they're clowns, but that's not a solution moving forward. You're just saying this is not going to work, which is fine.
You replace people who can't get the job done. George Steinbrenner would have cleaned house. He got rid of everybody.
Wait, I agree that you not cleaning house and only removing one piece is not going to solve your issue.
Three pieces should have been removed, not one.
I agree.
When Klentak is the guy who brought him in and set him up for failure, and McPhail just sat there like the little nerd he is and took his marching orders.
I agree. George, you're preaching to the choir. I agree with you.
Gillick,
I think they should have cleaned house. Gillick, I don't know what he's up to these days.
But he's pretty much retired.
I think he's done, but if I could and he was available, I'd absolutely bring Pat Gillick back.
Let him run things and let him bring somebody who's got some chutzpah like Joe Girardi in the dugout.
I'd love to have Joe Girardi here. Guess you're a big fan. You had him there for a while.
I love Gillick. I love him. I think he's the best.
All right. I appreciate the call, Georgie. He was tremendous here. Everything he touches turns to gold. When he's with Toronto, they go back-to-back. He comes here for a little bit, even as a consultant, and, you know, they assemble a team.
Ed Wade has done some good things in baseball.
He did.
I'm not saying everything was perfect with Ed as the general manager, but I will say he's done some good things in baseball and away from here as well. Houston would tell you.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I've always defended him.
Throwing that into that same.
Yeah, I would not.
He
found the core of that 2008 team.
Absolutely.
Might have gotten a raw deal. He didn't do everything perfect, but I think he gets people forget or
when
don't
they
know
honor
that
08 team, people thanked him.
They should.
They knew. Those players knew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It was misdirected anger because I thought he did a nice job when all is said and done. And in Houston as well.
Yeah, that's what I pointed out.
You did. Right? So good points by all. 610-632-0975.
I'm actually surprised that a Yankees fan had such passion about the Phillies.
He was passionate, right? How about that?
Yeah.
Seemed really upset. He's doing okay up
his
in the Bronx.
Fine
He's
right
doing
now.
Okay up there.
I guess he wants to duplicate it in the town where
he
called went to school.
Another team. Yeah, exactly. All right, we got to take a break. She's D-Lineham. I'm Joe Stazak. We're here till 7 o'clock tonight. Do you, after watching the press conference yesterday, do you trust that this front office can turn this team around and make them a legitimate contender in the next few years? 610-632-0975. We're coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the show. 429 here at 97.5. The Fanatic. I'm Joe Stazak. She's D-Lineham. Josh Rayback behind the glass. Taking your call. 610-632-0975. Gabe Kapler is out. Who will be the next manager of your team, your town, your Philadelphia Phillies? We don't know at this point. An exhaustive search is probably going on as we speak. My concern is if they wait too long, maybe some of their guys are going to get gobbled up. Is that to concern you at all? I mean, there's a lot of hot names out there.
I think the concern, in my opinion, is just that you didn't end the season with a plan.
They're right. What's the plan?
Yeah,
I mean, two of your guys wanted to keep the manager. The other guy wanted to get rid of him. There was no plan in place.
Right. So that somebody will get gobbled up. I mean, you could pick up the phone. If you know right now,
you could get it done.
But just listening to Klentak yesterday, we will now do an extensive search, thoroughness, collaborative, big words were thrown out.
Yep.
None of what impressed me because it certainly didn't say, now they would tell you, well, we were just in California to let Cap know the day before that he wasn't coming back. And so why would we have started this? Okay, well, because you waste 11 days or 12 days
sure.
of talking to people that you could have already talked to
You know it's coming, John right Middleton.
Yeah.
You know, talk to your boys. They would have told you to go do your research now or could start it, and you could have been on your mark, get set, go as soon as you fire Kapler.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I would say is, again, I'll go back to the Joe Girardi. If that's the guy you want, and I think that would impress here, I don't know that Girardi would want this situation.
Right. It works both ways.
Yeah.
You don't know,
I mean,
the other guy's
if I'm
want
listening to that press conference as a potential manager, I'm not sure I'm enjoying what I'm hearing. And
I hear you.
And what if I come in, here is what I want to do. And, you know, I think if you don't feel comfortable that you would be working for an owner who would allow you to manage as you see fit, I think everybody knows, and Middleton feels like Philadelphia doesn't accept the analytics of the game. I think that's craziness. But I think what people who are smart fans are saying, but you cannot only operate with analytics.
Right.
Analytics have been around for multiple sports for a very, very long time. We didn't call it analytics for a long time. They didn't.
Right.
You know, it was like numbers.
Right.
It was research. It was all there.
Statistics. Yeah.
You know, but I mean, it's been part of sports for a long time. Has it expanded? Of course it's expanded. And has baseball in particular, you can see it by the way people play things. By the way, though, last night when I'm watching the Washington game, and I tuned in late, and I saw three bunts in about a 15-minute span. I said, I don't think I saw two bunts.
I couldn't remember
in about
a bunt this year.
6 months of the
right.
Philly season.
Couldn't remember
so,
a bunt.
So, you know, tell me analytics this and analytics that. But I know those bunts were necessary yesterday.
Got the job done.
So
they're still playing.
And I would just say that understanding the using of analytics with also understanding how a game is played and how you manufacture runs at times or, you know, strikeouts and home runs is not the game. That isn't the game. Not if you're going to be a winner.
And you mentioned Joe Girardi.
Or walks and home runs, I guess is a better way of saying it.
He's okay with analytics. He did his share of analytics with the Yankees, but I don't think there's any way, shape, or form he's going to accept the lineup coming down from upstairs. You know what I'm saying?
Well, even Buck Showalter won't do
right,
that.
Right.
No way.
Absolutely not.
No.
That's ridiculous.
And Joe Maddon actually was an analytics guy before
yes, he was.
We made this mm-hmm. way. And, you know, got to the World Series in 08, won it with the Cubs. He's, you know, I think he's a balanced guy. People look at him and say baseball guy.
Right.
But he is a balanced guy.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. 610-632-0975. Before I go back to the phone lines, I wanted to ask you this. When it came to analytics, Middleton kind of went on a little bit of a roll there saying, I brought this in, I championed this, and, you know, more than even the guy who runs the department, you know, analytics was my thing, it was my vision. I mean, I'm like you said, it's been around forever. How is that your vision? You're late to the ball game.
Maybe
if that's
he felt
your vision.
Well, the way I looked at it, I felt like he didn't think was used enough by the organization before him.
Okay.
That's how I read that. But not to the game.
Right?
Yeah.
Craziness. All right, let's go to Max in Allentown. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Max?
Hey, guys. Great show. Very cerebral what you guys are bringing to the table here as far as solutions and facts. Let me just get it started by saying this. It all comes down to planning, and you mentioned that earlier. And there's a saying, you work your plan and plan your work, or
that's right.
Frontwards and backwards, okay? Kapler didn't have a plan. You know, he just reacted. He was just a numbers guy. You know, he's gone. They made that decision. You have to live with it. We got McPhail and Klentak. Do they have a plan, and can they work that plan? That's what I'm most concerned about. In their favor, okay, they did go after Corbin. He rebuffed them. That move would have been a solid move.
Oh, tremendous move if they could have picked up Patrick Corbin.
So they targeted a pitcher. They didn't land him. So you have to give them a little credit there in researching that they needed pitching. Obviously, they blew up the bullpen. That's on them 100%. They in the middle of the year, they could have made a move for a starting pitcher for Keuchel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't make that move.
Whiffed on that.
That's on them.
And then one of their competition teams
went
and got him, and he pitched well.
That's inexcusable. Yeah, and that's on them, and they have to be held accountable for that. But we have them for next year, okay? Joe Girardi would be a perfect addition to this squad, but as you mentioned before, he's not going to, you know, take orders standing.
Yeah. And I think that this becomes less appealing for, yeah. And unless you could come in, and if you're Girardi, you're interviewing, like, how are we fixing this pitching rotation? I mean,
right.
Because he's not going to take this without knowing that you can fix that. And
right.
I'm not sure it's an easy fix.
Yeah. I mean,
if you could, I know, I was going to say, but you also have 29 other teams that are asking for the same thing.
Right. So it's going to be like a Harper situation last year. You're going to need a guy like Gillick to pull a rabbit out of his hat like he did with Jason Worth and Shane Victorino.
Sure.
But unfortunately today, you know, everyone knows about analytics and finding those types of players that are out there. Ever since the Moneyball movie, you know, you're not going to find a diamond in the rough because everybody has that information moving forward. So in order to get where you need to be, you have to be able to draft.
That's exactly right, Max.
You didn't hear? Middleton told us. He has three of
that?
The top 100 prospects.
Well, if there's 30 teams, doesn't everybody else have three?
Yes.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I mean, they got to start drafting college players that are ready now. If you're a great team, you could afford to take high school players, okay? But right now, you need to take some good college pitchers, and you have to mold them and get them in this lineup within 3 years. Or you're just going to keep floundering like they are. They have nothing in the farm system.
I would agree with you, but they sure as heck didn't want to address that the farm system is a problem yesterday.
Then he's delusional.
I know. I would agree with you.
Well, that's a problem. If they can't identify the issues, okay, that anybody, Joe Blow, could identify,
yep.
Then that's a problem. And you know, Middleton should have fired them based on that analysis because you cannot is projecting in the right direction, especially on the pitching angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Max. First of all, appreciate the call, man. We got to run. Have a good day.
There's a little irony in that. He said, you know, he should have fired them, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that would be Middleton admitting he made a mistake.
Right. He made
by extending
those guys.
So you want Klentak didn't want to admit he made a mistake in hiring Kapler, and essentially Middleton doesn't want to admit that he made a mistake extending these guys before they were worthy of the extensions.
And he was asked, why is Gabe Kapler not on stage and Matt Klentak still is and Andy McPhail still is? And he basically said, show me any part of this team that's not better than it was 4 years ago. What did you think of that?
Well, first of all, they were in a really bad place 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I guess if you're only saying to get to mediocrity,
which is where they are,
is an extension, is being better. I mean, I'm not going to argue. I guess I would say, should we accept that it takes 4 years to get from bad to mediocrity? Then if that's the case, am I waiting another 4 years to get from mediocrity to what?
Yeah, I hear you. Listen, Houston went from a 100-loss team, and they've now won three straight seasons of 100 games or more, and they turned it around in like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
They continue to bring guys up who can play right away, sign free agents, the right free agents. They have the right pitching staff. You know,
I would go and look at teams. Houston would be an example, but
good blueprint.
Yeah, or perennial winners like a Yankees,
mm-hmm.
You know, and somebody back in the day you would say, well, they always have the money. Well, you just said you had stupid money a year ago.
Right.
So that wouldn't be the case.
Nope.
So it would be people who identify talent, identify when you make a mistake and don't hang on to it,
mm-hmm.
Talent-wise or not, and figure out how do I correct this? How do I get what is necessary to win? And then when you don't have everything talent-wise, then it is on your coaching staff and it is on your manager. How do I win with what I have? That is your job.
That's your job.
That is your job. And I think the really good ones can eke out a couple extra wins by making adjustments, and I just feel like Cap was never willing to go down that road.
Yeah, I don't think he was a guy who made a difference. I mentioned the Hall of Fame manager, Whitey Herzog, at one point said that managers only really can affect the game maybe 5 times per year, and you know that could sway a lot of things, and I don't think Gabe was on the positive side of five instances.
I would disagree with that number that Whitey said, but
What would you think it would be?
Only 5 out of 162?
I'd probably go 8 because they'll tell you they don't have a lot to do with the outcome. They're much more important in the postseason when being a tactician is means everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to research that a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, just because I think, for instance, how you utilize your bullpen sets you up for good or bad in not just the moment or the game that you're in, but maybe for the next couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a little bit of a domino effect, if you want to say, in that one game. But that one game could affect the next two.
Right.
So that, to me, instantly there is 3.
Yep.
So.
Well. Maybe he could only affect 5 games. I don't know. I'll have to ask him next time I see him.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what he's saying. Like, don't think that the manager is a magician.
It's not like football.
He's not a magician.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
Because I personally don't think there's a person on this planet that could have taken this team to the playoffs with how they were constructed. We got to take a break.
I do think they could have won a wild card. I don't think the
with a different manager, do you?
I don't... Or just even having adjusted as a group much better or been, you got to be able to stop the bleeding. And 2 years in a row, that to me is on your leader of having such a fall off.
I got a question for you, but I'm going to give it to you on the other side. And I'll dumb down the question a little bit. I'll make it shorter. Do you believe this front office can turn this team into a champion within 3 years? That's the question. Watching yesterday and hearing everything that was said and knowing they just whacked Kapler and they're looking for a new guy, are you confident, do you trust this front office to turn this team around and win a championship in the next 3 years? 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm Joe Stazak. We're coming right back.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. 97.5 The Fanatic.
No, I mean, look, nobody bats 1,000 in the hiring decisions. I haven't. So it's early in his career, but he's also, I would also point out that he's made lots and lots of really good hiring decisions.
That would be the owner, John Middleton, on his general manager, Matt Klintak.
What other hiring decisions has he made?
I think he's talking about the guys he brought in the offseason, like JT Realmuto, Gene Segura.
Yeah, but I don't consider those hiring. I consider those player acquisitions.
I think he meant to say what you're saying. He just said it in a different way. That's what I think. Because other than that, who'd he hire? He hired Gabe.
That's my point.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. 610-632-0975. We'll be playing cuts from that press conference throughout the day. It went a whole hour. I was done in about 25 minutes because that's all I needed to hear. I didn't need to hear any more spins and whatnot. There were some questions I would have loved for the media to ask. And it's, media's pretty sharp in this town, but I thought they missed a couple yesterday. And certainly some follow-ups. But, they took them out.
The only thing I would say in defense is that I found the 3 of them to talk at great length to answer everything.
Yes, they did.
So it was a little bit of a filibuster, in my opinion.
They did filibuster.
Yeah.
That's exactly what
and
it was.
You do that to avoid having to answer too many questions.
Right, that's exactly right.
Personally, what I think should be able to happen in those situations, I take the mic and I say, I'm sorry, I hate to cut you off and be rude, but we're short on time.
Right.
And here's my next question.
Right.
Now, normally what happens is only one more person has a mic and they have to be that person to do that.
But right.
Too often, that's what they're doing. You know they're only going to be there for the hour. And at the end of the hour, I felt even at Sixers Media Day, there was a very short amount of time for Joel Embiid. He only had a field about 5 questions. Boom, let's get him out of there.
By design?
Well, one, I think, you know, they're trying to make him hit 30 things because,
sure,
you know, all the national outlets are there.
Right, sure.
You know, but so that you, I'm trying to think, I can't even remember. There was plenty of topical stuff that was happening, not per se bad.
Right,
but
sure.
But you just, you'd like to get to a little bit more,
right,
you know?
Because I'm wondering, what would they be hiding? Nothing has happened.
No, I'm just saying how, right, from a PR standpoint, they know how to swing it their way.
Yeah, they can control it.
They try to control it.
They can
That's
control
all I'm saying. I'm just using different examples.
Sure.
And, you know, you can say, well, you'd like to have heard somebody ask this. There wasn't a lot of time.
And you're right. You might not have that microphone waiting for your follow-up. It's all across this other side of the room.
It's already been taken from you.
You're right. That's a good point. 610-632-0975. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Mike and KOP, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Michael?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
All right, man.
Excellent.
So I want to say, I think that the Philadelphia Phillies and the Philadelphia Eagles have front office problems when it comes to talent evaluation and handling the draft. The Phillies are bereft of talent in the minor leagues, and if we're going to be real honest about our boy Howie, he is so-so, if leading to incompetent when it comes to the draft. And I think it's really... You know, it's bad for the Eagles at this point because they are a team with a superstar on the rise quarterback. They can't, you know, fill up its talent with young and inexpensive draft picks. And the Phillies are a team that is trying to become a playoff contender, but they have no one in their farm system. And when it comes to midseason trades, they have no one to trade, like nothing to trade to get, you know, to stock their team with. So I think, you know, the owners of both teams really need to maybe take a look in the mirror and really think about, you know, what their front office is and you know, holding people responsible for what's happening right now.
Well, I think with Jeffrey Lurie, he would say to you, you know, hold on a minute. 2 years ago, we won a Super Bowl and I have pieces that were still part of that. I understand what you're saying in terms of Howie and his drafting and what it does to you from a financial standpoint in that sport. And in the Philly situation, what you're saying is not being able to trade at the trade deadline because you don't have things to trade. It limits you in how you stock your roster and what movements you can make. So in both cases, but I think with Jeffrey Lurie, he would quickly be able to say, you know what, give me a minute because I think I still have some good stuff. I hear you, but... Howie's done, you know, good enough 2 years ago to bring the Lombardi here.
Mike, I got you, man. I even wrote an article that kind of talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago, that most of their success has been built the last couple of years on free agents. The whole Super Bowl was built on free agents. If you go up and down, there's like three Howie Roseman guys on that team, on offense or defense. You're supposed to use free agency to kind of maybe cover for a mistake here or there, or tweak or take your team to the next level. But most of their talent in the last two or three years, aside from Carson Wentz, obviously, has come through trades or free agency.
Let me say this one thing about Howie Roseman. First of all, I think he gets too much credit for Carson Wentz. Like, yes, he did a lot to get up to the point where you could draft a quarterback, but there were two quarterbacks, and the way he said it was he was happy with either chocolate or vanilla. So if Wentz had gone, he would have taken Goff, and that guy's kind of a dummy anyway, and I don't think he's as good of a quarterback. So we could have had Goff on this team had that gone that way. And I also, it's just, to me, the entire 2017 draft, excluding Rasul Douglas, who is a safety playing cornerback with no speed, and Derek Barnett making bonehead moves out on the field.
And like, Sidney Jones.
That draft is like an almost a wash at this point.
He's got,
like,
Sidney Jones, too, with the number two pick.
Yeah, and he's a wash. Like, that guy's a bust. He's not going to be in the league next year. It's just, there's a lot of things that need to be called out, and Howie gets a lot of passes, and he's covered up a lot of mistakes through free agency, and that's what he does. Like, he just covers up his drafting mistakes, and people love flashy trades, and they've given him passes for it.
Thanks.
Well, if you cover up your mistakes, that's the people who don't admit that they have a mistake and won't fix it. That's worse. Covering up your mistakes, okay. It didn't work out, and you can say he's bad at drafting, but at least he covers up his mistakes.
And he covers them well.
Yeah, he's done well.
He's an ace.
And my other thing would be,
agency and trades.
You cannot like Jared Goff, but you don't know one way or the other what would happen.
He took the Rams to the Super Bowl last year. What's the problem with Jared Goff?
And in fairness, Wentz has not taken these guys to there.
Jared Goff would have been fine here.
I have no problem that you like somebody better than the other, but to say, you know, he's a dummy when he just played in the Super Bowl last year, it's not fair.
He's referring to the Hard Knocks comment where Goff didn't know the sun rose in the east.
Oh.
So that's why people think he's stupid. I don't think he's stupid. I mean, I've listened to him.
Kyrie Irving says the world is flat.
Yes.
So, I mean, come on.
You're very right about that. All right, we've got to take another break. Josh Raybeck behind the glass taking your calls at 610-632-0975. She's D-Lineham. I'm Joe Stasak. Do you trust this front office of your Philadelphia Phillies is competent enough to turn this team into a championship contender in the next 3 years? Give us a call, 610-632-0975. Coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.